just was sticking to the timeline. So for those of you that kind of think like that, when it's got like, we're going to do about half with Angela, and then we're going to hear a powerful testimony on friendships too. So I'm trying to catch my breath. How do you feel? It's like, whoa, God just did this amazing thing, and now we got to shift gears a little bit. But it's all the same thing, yeah? It is all the same thing. He's doing a powerful impartation, that pioneering spirit. So welcome. Thrilled to have you be here with us. And we're so honored to get to have Angela speak to us about such an important part of our faith and the process of raising up leaders. Because we need to do that, don't we? This whole pioneering spirit, it ties in with the mothering, fathering spirit that she preached about, that impartation. And so I'm going to quickly open in prayer, and then we're going to get to it. I want to just shout out a greeting to Amanda, who helped plan this and then was not able to be here. And we love her. And so, Amanda, we love you. And I know she's going to listen to this at some point. So the points that you hear and the interview that you hear, Amanda was going to do that. So I'm going to do my best to honor her notes and stick to the guideline and the spirit of it. So, Father, thank you for this beautiful group of people. Men and women, woo, this is exciting, who want to hear about mentoring, who want to hear about multiplying strength through mentoring. Father, we know and understand through Scripture, two are better than one. One can put to flight 1,000, two, 10,000. Jesus, we're looking forward to hearing how we can be multipliers through mentoring, being mentored, and friendships that are critical and key to multiplication and expansion of kingdom. So Holy Spirit, we give you this time. We pray that you just soak the soil of our hearts to receive the seed of your word. And Lord, whatever you need to speak to each one of us, we say yes. We receive your word for us today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay. Wow. Well, we have three chairs because we'll need them later. I will come and sit beside you. Okay. Thank you so much, Angela. I've had the privilege of getting to know Angela better, so I know things that you don't know yet, but I want to just say something that I didn't think to say in when I got to introduce her, but she's a phenomenal listener. She really processes well with the Holy Spirit. And so she invited me to have some sessions with her just as a friend, but also as a mentor. And I thought, God up heaven, I need that so bad. And I was so excited to do it. So I really enjoyed our times together. They're rich, and you're going to be really blessed by the things she says. So Angela, welcome. Thank you for your time. Very excited. So we're going to just take this time then. There's three parts that we want to share about today. First of all is the vision of mentoring and how you got into it, your journey. Then we want to talk about the role of those that want to mentor, what you can speak into that, and then later, however the order went in your mind, and then those that are wanting to be mentored, what they would need to know about that. So if we start off, would you mind sharing with us, how did you start your journey? What was that like for you in mentoring?
This is a subject that's very close to my heart. Hasn't always been, but in the last years, it's something that I love doing. I'm a one-on-one person, probably because I am so introvert. And so in pastoral work, I love doing this, but now I do it very, very intentionally. And just so that you understand the context, I do mentor people in person if they're in Vienna. I mentor male and female up-and-coming leaders throughout Austria, most of those on a screen, but I do know them. And in the last couple of years, I've had the incredible honor of getting to know a number of leading women globally who I've never yet met in person, but once a month for 90 minutes, I get to walk with just across my computer screen. And so I don't know how mentoring is for you. We're talking today about mentoring, but just also about intentionally building friendships into our lives that are so important. So as you heard, I grew up since I was 10 as Since I was 10, I've been following Jesus. I look at my teenage years, and I had a lot of people in my life, but not really so many close friends. I had one really close girlfriend. After I received the call, when I was just 17, to go to Austria, I met a young lady who was just 5 years older than I was. She came into my life. She was a pastor's daughter. She was much more mature in the faith and in the understanding of God. And interestingly enough, for quite a few years, Julie, when I look back and think about it, became a mentor for me. Wow. She was only 5 years older, and then she was in England at the time where I was, but then moved to New Zealand. And now Julie and I, we see each other about once every 20 years. We don't communicate very often, but the minute we talk, right, we carry on where we left off. So when I look at my younger years in ministry, the first couple of years where Johnny and I loving being together, freshly married and in this massive adventure, and I'll be absolutely honest with you, and this is probably very different for many of you men and women in the room, I have a gift to pioneer. And a pioneer gift, sometimes, it doesn't always have to be like it in any means, is a Lonely Ranger gift. And so I do want to be very transparent with you and say that I wasn't, and I never have been, and I'm still not, the woman who needs a lot of people very, very close in her world. I'm not the girly type who needs a friend, a girlfriend to go shopping with. I don't enjoy shopping. I don't go shopping very much. I have to work hard at actually building purposeful relationships and friendships and team, because the pioneer gift is so strong in me, and I can just, God and I can manage a lot. And that's not always advantageous. But I do look back to a time when Johnny and I had led the first couple of Austrians to faith in Jesus, starting this first little home group church in our home. And we realized God was going to give us success. And we got scared because we didn't have anybody in our life. Mm-hmm. And we called in an older couple into our lives, and I have had the incredible honor, and I think something that has formed me to become the woman I am today is that for many years, 15 to 20 years, we had a couple, a leading couple, where he, just as she, were ministers. They were called, they were leaders, and particularly Eileen poured into my life. Not often. I saw her twice a year. But like I mentioned in my preach last night, we let them right into our home, right into our lives. And Eileen just, yeah, became a mother to me. Hmm. She became a spiritual mother. I've not had another one since her. She's still alive. She's 92.
Wow.
I don't have a lot of contact now, but occasionally, a wonderful woman of God. And so I look back to that, and I'm so thankful to God, and I look back to that, and I know that that planted something in my heart about spiritual motherhood that I have the honor of living today. I have other men in my life. I want to be clear on this. I have a man who, for Johnny and myself, he was a Bible school teacher but became a spiritual father to us. And real closeness. I was in hospital once in a bad, bad state with just a horrible growth in very close to my voice box, and I had to stay in hospital for a long time because they were scared to operate on it because they didn't know how to. And I had a horrible experience one night when the spirit of death came for me. And it was very, very real. And I, early morning hours, the only person I could think to call was a man called John. And he was my Bible school director, but he was a dad to me. And God had woken him and told him, John, you get to your office right now. Somebody needs you. And my call went into his office in England so that he could fight with me a battle that night, that there was someone after me to take me out. So I have men. There's another man who I was in 2010 heading into a burnout, which I did end up in a very deep way. And this man happened to be in our home at that time. And he spoke some words to me as only a father could have spoken them. And I listened to those words as only a daughter would hear those words. They saved my life. I would have probably kept going and got myself in a place that I wouldn't have been able to recover, like God graciously has helped me to recover completely. So I know the value of allowing men and women into our lives, calling them into our lives, inviting them, giving them the authority to come into our lives. Why? I think of Eileen. What was so special? She believed in me. She validated my feelings. She validated some of my fears. She validated some of my thoughts as a young woman in ministry, feeling that, Johnny mentioned it this morning, there was a period when he was with his guys, I was busy being a young mum, and there wasn't space for me. And she validated some of the fears I had and helped me to process them. What helped me? Why do I have such a heart to mentor? It's grown out of my pastoral gift. My main giftings are pastoral and apostolic. And out of the wanting and caring for people, very easily, somehow as a mum, and I shared this last night, I've done it with my natural kids. I want in every season in their life, and still today, I want them to be living their best version of them in that chapter. And I don't manage to just pastor people without somehow feeling the need to empower them. And I know with my genuine heartfelt interest, with, yes, my gift to listen. I'm a woman, you'll laugh because you've heard so many of my words. I'm a woman of very few words. I struggle to do small talk. I get myself in trouble because I often don't find the right words. In ministry, every weekend, my preparation for going to church would be sitting at my desk thinking through how I'm going to engage in small talk. Any other introverts in the room?
Yes.
It's real. And so out of my pastoral gift, I think, grew this desire just to empower men and women. And then out of my understanding, particularly for women, because we release men and women into every sphere of ministry, right through to senior leadership, even single women. And to enable that, we've had to do our homework, and I had to understand that women are wired, most women are wired quite differently than most men. And for a woman to carry responsibility, particularly if it's a single woman, she needs somebody close who fairly soon, after an intensive time of carrying responsibility, even if it's leading a life group, which is a wonderful thing to do, pastoring in a small circle, she needs someone to download on. Why? Because her mind is not in boxes. She's not like the man who can go home and puts away the box of leadership in the life group to enjoy watching a game of soccer. She goes home and she wants to drink her drinking chocolate at night and go to bed, but the thoughts keep going on and they add to everything else because her mind is not in boxes, but it's a ball of wool that just all gets tangled in each other. And if we're going to see our women particularly flourish, even single women or women whose husbands are not in ministry with them, we need to give them a space to download, to order their thoughts, and they need someone alongside them where fairly soon they can be doing that. And this is where I see the role of mentoring. So that is what encouraged me to do it, just so that you know. I, 10 or 12 years ago, went through as a minister. I'm an ordained minister, but I went through a training which was quite an extensive training as a coach. Just very briefly, I'm a preacher. You know that. I've been raised and disciple people, lead people to Jesus, disciple them. I'm a mum, and I used to be very direct, very, very strict, and I would tell people what the Bible said and say, well, you know, that's how it's got to be done, hasn't it? But coaching is an indirect form of talking to people where your opinion is not important. You're listening. You're reflecting, you're mirroring to the person you've listened to in the belief that the Holy Spirit will work within the person you're talking to and bring forth the solution, which we then validate, affirm. And the wonderful thing is, if they've come up with the solution, the chances are that they walk out the solution is much higher than if you've told them the Bible says this and you better get it done. They're walking out of the solution that they found is so much higher. I loved my coaching training. It changed my life. I know that's exaggerating, but it really did. I can do that. Since my burnout, I can't multitask very well. My mind, I used to have a very, very fast mind. My mind is not so fast anymore. I don't come up with answers as quickly as I used to, even remembering Bible verses. But I can listen, I can mirror, and I can ask the best questions. And it's such a gift. And so having put some skills in my pocket, I love mentoring. That was a lot, wasn't it?
That was good. Thank you, Angela. No, that was lovely. We needed to hear that. So for context for us, we don't have currently a very intentional process of mentoring within the network. But our heart, as leading ladies, is to create safe spaces for what you're talking about through some of the one-on-ones that we have, some connection. We've been trying to connect through some Zooms to get women that need a space to talk and to relate. And so this is just a beginning. So there's clipboards here, ladies. I just wanted to make you aware before we go further. There's clipboards here. If you want more information on either becoming a mentor or being mentored, we would love you. We're not going to make promises we can't keep. We don't have something very organized just yet, but we'd love to know if that's something that you're interested in. So on that note, in the 10 minutes that we have left, Angela, I'd love you to speak to the place of when someone is wanting to be mentored, how would they posture themselves? And then if someone is wanting to be a mentor, what would they need? I know that's a lot, but
yes,
do your best.
I'll start with the one, if you desire to be a mentor. You don't need a position. You don't need a title. You simply start discipling people. You start parenting people. You start by your presence in their lives, by your words, by your believing in them, by your affirmation, your confirmation, your cheering on. You start adding so much value to their lives, genuinely, authentically, that they will come after you and seek you out for your presence and everything else that I said. Please, I don't think it's the way to be done that we get little cards made with our name on it and I'm now a mentor or a coach.
Yeah.
Of course, in the business world, this gets done. You can go to a consultant. You can pay a lot of money. You can get it all out there. Let me just say, I don't think it should be taken for granted that mentoring is free of charge. If someone is adding value to your life, and that is, I'm talking now to those who desire to mentor, I think that is the pivotal point. Desire and learn how to add value to men and women's lives.
Yes.
And you don't have to be a preacher to do it.
No.
It's better if you're not.
It's good.
So, and if I'm now in a position in my life where I don't have a fixed income, I'm not a pastor anymore. I used to be a pastor of a church in Vienna and a pastor to all of our pastors in the network. And so I had a salary coming in from that. I've let it all go as a step of faith to facilitate our next wave of church planting, and I've become a fundraiser. As I've been reaching out to a lot of people in my world to start reconnecting and just putting some asks out there for resources, I've met up with a lot of women and men who, after one Zoom call with me, because I've learnt and believe I reflect the heart of God and add value, I've made it a goal in my life. Every person I meet, even the lady who's sitting at the till in the shop, within 2 minutes, I can add value to her life.
Yes.
My encouragement, my praise for her smile, the fact that what I will find a way of adding value to everybody I meet. And if you have a desire to be a mentor and you learn how to add value, you won't have to print cards and state that you're a mentor. People will be after you. If you desire to be mentored, in a nutshell, find someone that you aspire to be like. Not in every possible way. And this doesn't, I don't believe you need a mentor and it remains the same mentor for the whole of your life. I think we, particularly us women, but also men, we live very seasonal. We have chapters that change. If you're in young motherhood and you're learning how to homeschool and you want to set up a business on the sideline, I would not be your best mentor. I could not possibly have homeschooled. I've never set up a business. I've been a mum. I can cook cakes, bake cakes, but I wouldn't be. But if you aspire to be a pioneer, be in ministry, add value to everybody's life that you meet, if you feel like, oh, you're an introvert, yeah, I don't find many of them around in the ministry. Well, we have some similarities and maybe, you know, so be looking out for someone you say, wow, we're quite similar. And I do mentor extroverts. In fact, they love me as their mentor because I let them talk a lot. But then in a couple of sentences, this is a God-given ability, in a couple of sentences,
yes,
I take all of their talking and I bring it to a point and I can usually focus them right in on what God is wanting to do in their life and I help them to see it. But as a mentee, if you're seeking to a mentor, you're the one who's looking for them. I don't go out there looking for mentees. People meet me, people hear me, and fairly soon they're wanting to spend time with me. and they have to pay for it. That's the season in life that I am, and it does mean that they value what they get. It's not extortionate in any way whatsoever, but it does cost something. It is valued. There are exceptions. I've picked up a 21-year-old young lady. I was at a youth camp now in summer in Austria. She's one of, the lady, the politician, the second one. Oh. It's her daughter. She's called Gloria. I saw her ministering at youth camp. I'd lost touch with her, and I just felt God quicken in my heart and say, Angela, you need to walk with Gloria for a season. I want to get the giftings out of her. She's not living her best you yet, or best her yet, and you can help her. So I offered, and Gloria will not pay a penny. You know, I walk with Gloria for a while. I evaluate every 6 months. I don't do anything longer than 6 months. Maybe we're through. Maybe I've got you where you need to be for the best version of you for this chapter. But I evaluate and I say, hey, what have you learned? How's it been? Shall we give it a pause? Let's give it 2 months break. You want to come back afterwards? Some say, no, Angela, I need to stay right with it. I'm right in the midst of it. We're just working stuff through. Yeah. So, but I do believe it's the mentee, the one who wants to be mentored, prayerfully be looking for it, release a budget within your world that if necessary, that you can value it enough to say, to be the best version of me. And ladies particularly, but men too, we need to believe in ourselves enough. This is an issue I have. I don't reach out probably, or haven't reached out as much as I should have to get help. Yeah, I'm a bit of a lonely ranger, but also I've struggled with valuing myself and the gift of God in me enough to realize, If I'd drawn someone in, I could have got help and would have been doing better here than I am now. Mm. So value who you are, the gift of God in you, and just realize, for some of you, it is going to be a matter of survival that you draw somebody in. Mm. There are others who now and again you might need a chat with someone. Well, draw them in, recognize it. Mm. But it is valuable, place value on it, and make it happen. And don't degrade how beautifully it can happen across a screen. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be in your world right here. It can happen across a screen. I think
we are going to need to.
That's it.
That is so excellent. Did you enjoy that and get something out of that? Thank you so much. That was rich, and I've so enjoyed our conversation. I wish we could just go on and on, because it was so, so good and valuable. And I thank you especially for the last part, because that really impacted me when you told me that most of us don't value ourselves enough to get the help that we need. So, Angela, would you be willing to say a prayer for all of us? Because, again, in this area, we're pioneering. In the network, I believe we're pioneering, and God's going to release a lot of mentoring from us and into us. So if you would pray for us, I would appreciate that.
I thank you, Father God, for the hunger there is in this room. The hunger because you're at work, and these precious men and women want to become the best version of themselves for this chapter in their life. And so I pray for everyone who is desperately seeking and needing a spiritual mother, a spiritual father, a mentor, that they will in the next days and weeks find the person that they need. For everyone who cannot yet grasp the value of their life and their gift, you will reveal it to them, and they will see the importance of good training, which involves mentorship. And for every one in this room who is called at some stage to be a mentor, a spiritual father or a mother to someone else, that they would grow into that in a beautiful way, and every one of us will be successful in adding value to everybody we meet every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you again. That was beautiful. I just wanted to introduce this next part. There's always a tension, right, when you're thinking about what do we need? What would add value to us as a network? And in thinking about this session, I know it probably would have been a very good idea to give it all to the mentoring time, and I love that so much, and I appreciate how Angela was so able to be concise and give us some value and some good nuggets. But I was also made aware, and it's so important to me and to my heart, that because we are a family, because we are a network that was founded on relationship, and I keep hearing stories about organizations of churches that don't seem to have a heart connection. And there's something very rich that we carry, and I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it. I want to honor the platform, honor the floor that the Lord laid when he established this network family. And we want to just keep raising the bar and adding value and going deeper. And so Angela mentioned the truth of the fact that many times in pioneering, it is a lonely place. And I have felt that at times, even in a relational network. But again, thankfully, the Lord is so gracious in that because we have men and women who have a heart, they lead from their spirit and their heart, and they are attuned to the needs, and they saw us. And because we're prophetic, they would see into the heart, and they weren't just about getting things done. They were about, how are you really doing? And so we want to create spaces. COVID kind of helped with that. We started more online Zooms, trying to create opportunities for you to be able to connect in with other leading ladies, I've called it, but men in the room too, for you leaders too. That is our heart, Ian and I both, and the other pastors and leaders that are in the network. We want to create those safe spaces where you can grow, where we can share burdens together, because sometimes you can't always do that with the people that are just in your church family or connection. And so there is a remarkable story I want you to hear, and then when it's done, we're going to invite Kristen Hofert to come up and Kimberly Gal, Shyla Manishan, to come on up, please. And they're going to share what God did in them over a series of time. And then at the end, we're going to have Kristen pray for us, just so that God does a continued work in all of us in regards to that. So would you give them a hand? Because it takes some courage to come up here and do this.
Okay. All right. I get to start. What we're going to kind of do today is we're going to share our friendship testimony, but the whole underlying highlight and theme through all of it is the healing that God's done in each of our lives, the lies that have been broken, and how our friendship has actually brought so much greater freedom in Christ, and how it's available for all of you, for everybody in this room, and I think that's our heart. So anyway, here we go. And I'm really nervous. I don't know why. I'm not usually nervous when I speak, but I really am.
You can do this.
My hands are shaking. I met Shyla for the first time a number of years ago here at conference, one of our very first conferences when mutual friends introduced us and invited us to all hang out afterwards for wings and meals. And my initial thoughts of Shyla were, wow, this girl is stunning. And then I'm not cool enough to be her friend. Of course, was a lie. And within those first few years of knowing Shy, I had actually experienced some really significant losses in friendships that are still painful. We were in a new city, and there were some friendships and relationships that I thought would be forever friends with a depth that I was longing for, that for many reasons dissipated. And I was hurting deeply, and I was feeling intense loneliness and intense loss. And it left me questioning, what is wrong with me? I'm easily replaceable, and I'm not enough for others. And it seemed as if my circumstances were feeding the lies that the enemy was feeding me. And then I had to push past my fear that said, if you have these close friendships, it just means you're going to lose somebody else. And the pain is too great. It's not worth it. It's not worth being close to people. It's too painful. It hurts too much. So Shyla and I had some really deep conversations. We had moments of radical vulnerability at conference. and at camp each year, and there was a depth to our friendship that was a beautiful gift. But we'd see each other twice a year and then be involved in our churches, and that was it. We wouldn't connect much outside of that. And here at conference, I'm pretty sure it was the year 2018, there was an altar call, and I remember going up and confessing my hurt, the pain, and deep longing for friendship and for relationships. And I really confessed it all. I laid it down, and I went home with a deep desire to pursue friendship, but nothing really changed. And then 2020 happened. And Andrew and I had sat down and we had put a plan in place of these are areas we're going to be intentional. These are things we're going to do. And 2020 happened and we couldn't implement any of it. None of it was a possibility anymore. However, during this time, I began reaching out a bit more often to Shyla. Andrew and I would start staying at their house on our way to camp and then driving to camp together, getting our families together, our kids together. And then Andrew and I would start scheduling visits in between, saying, hey, we miss you guys. Can we come stay with you for the weekend? We're feeling the sting, feeling lonely. Can we come? And their home was always open. And there was a depth that was beginning to grow despite my introvertedness, despite my lack of small talk, despite the fact that I'm the person that thinks of the perfect comeback and the perfect thing to say the day after the conversation. That's always when I know what I should have said and what I wanted to say. I had some key moments throughout this journey that changed some things through me and brought a greater level of healing and change. I was talking with Val, and she gave me a challenge. She said, Kimberly, why do your closest friendships have to be in your same city? There's technology. There's things. Why can't you schedule a coffee date with that friend you have a heart connection with who's further away? And she challenged me. She's like, Kimberly, you need to replace the lies you're believing with a believable truth. And practically, that looked like me sitting down with some of the things I'd believed about myself in regard to relationships and asking why, as well as replacing the lie of I am not enough with I have gained wisdom along the way and I have something to offer in friendship. And that had played out. I had seen it in different areas and I could believe it. And so I now have a replacement for the lie, and that's been a game changer for me. And it's also looked like searching out scripture and finding ones that apply to the lie and believing and declaring those out loud to my spirit, praying in tongues in the shower. I pray hard in the shower, you guys. And believing the truth about who God says I am. That's my true identity. That's who I am. And so within the next month of that conversation with Val, I had scheduled a coffee date with Shai, being like, we need to talk. Can we have coffee? Can we go for coffee? And we talked for hours, I feel like, that time. And we've now connected on a much regular basis, even though there's distance between where we live. And it's been such a gift and such a lifeline for me. We can ask each other the hard questions, the really hard questions, knowing we'll give honest answers and that we'll still be loved and valued, as well as challenged. Fast forward to last year at conference, and that's where I met Kristen for the first time. Again, I was introduced to her by a mutual friend, Shyla. As Kristen and I talked, we realized that we're the exact same age. We both spent significant time growing up in Ontario. We were both longing for friendship. You have to be vulnerable to get that part. It's worth the risk. As the weekend continued, there was a conversation about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and we realized that we were filled with the gift of speaking in tongues at the same camp, at the same age, on the same night. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was just like, Kimberly, see her. I am giving you a gift of friendship that I saw even when you guys were little girls, and I knew this moment was going to come. And wow. And for me, this moment made me realize that God was bringing me another friend in the wake of actually yet another really painful friendship loss. And that friendship was worth pursuing. It was worth pushing past my awkwardness again. We planned a coffee date over video chat, and I remember telling her, I really want to be your friend, but but you need to know that I can be really awkward at first. And if you are willing to stick around through that, I am in. Deep friendships, they take time, they take risks, and they take being vulnerable and really, really real. And I have to say, it's so worth it. I drove home from camp this summer, and Adder and I were talking, and I was just crying, being like, I'm just so grateful. Because I see this answer to prayer, and I see answer to going up at the altar and being like, I'm so lonely. I'm hurting. I'm lonely. And look at what God has done. And it's beautiful. It was so beautiful. I have these friends who get leadership, who know my struggles, and yet they want to hang out with me anyway. And I want to leave you with a couple of challenges. First, don't negate the effectiveness of introducing people to others. If you know people and they don't know each other, introduce them. That's how I'm friends with these beautiful women. And also, you never know what friendships will grow just from that. Don't be so closed that you can't look to get to know others. Be willing to look, be willing to see. And for me, I had to acknowledge the pain of loss. I had to acknowledge disappointment and yet still choose to press forward. And the Holy Spirit brought about amazing connections that I maybe would have missed. I'm not saying everyone in this room is going to be your best friends, but don't give up. Pray about it. Invite others in and invite God into the areas of pain and let him work. And I still have to battle those lies. Yesterday morning, I was battling. And I ended up in the bathroom stall. I hung my phone on the hook and I raised my hands after going to the bathroom in a bathroom stall being like, Jesus, I'm not going to stay in these lies. I need freedom. I am not a victim. I stood in that line and Val was like, yes, yes, yes. That's not who I am. I have to fight for it. And then I had to come to Shai and be like, I'm struggling and this is what I'm feeling. I need you to help me fight. And we fought. Take time to sit with the lies, but then find the truth of what God says and believe that truth. That is who you are. That is who he says you are. That's who he says you are in friendship, in relationship, and go after it.
Your turn.
So I'm just going to dive right in because you need to hear this whole story in its entirety. And what's cool is as we were just, we're like, how do we want to do this? Well, let's just give our testimonies. And the pieces, as we hear them, how God came in and spoke even more to our hearts on what he does in healing and what he does in process as each one of us go through our personal healings, how he brings that into this corporate healing. Oh, it just, I love Holy Spirit and I love what he does. So powerful. I have always been a very open and vulnerable person. The theme of small chat not being our favorite, it is so not my favorite. Apparently it is the theme here today. Small chat sucks. Not good at it. And at some point I always want my relationships to move to a level of depth where there is challenge, and when it's not, like, where there's honesty and vulnerability, it takes so much time and effort to get there, but that's what I want, which is probably why I didn't have a lot of friends growing up, but I had a few really, really close ones. When my husband and I moved into church lead role, in a church that we had been attending for years, I had lost a lot of deep relationships because I was shifting out of peer and into lead. And I get it. Like, I got that. I'm like, yeah, I that would be weird for me. And these relationships ended painfully. And it was one after another, after another, after another. And looking back, I let that pain start building walls around my heart. And things shifted. I started being really spread thin. with relationships, because as a leader, so many people are in your proximity, but I can't be friends on that depth with everyone. And it actually ended up where I was in depth with nobody. Shortly after this time, or about a little bit after this time, a woman really aggressively started coming after me and wanting to be my friend, but I had wounds. And so I made it difficult. And she literally said the words, "You are one tough woman to crack." And that's always kind of rang through my mind. Am I really? But after a lot of work on her part, I eventually gave it all the space and all of me and all the vulnerability. And we had years of a beautiful friendship. Fast forward a couple years, Dave and I were really going through some hard things in every area of our life, in church, in leadership, personal, health, family, all of it. And so naturally, I shared these things with my best friend. And I noticed space developing. Not instantly, but there was distance forming. And so I asked her about it and kind of being put off and put off and put off till finally we met. And it was there that my beautiful relationship ended in an abrupt statement of, "I just don't think you're worth being friends with." See, I really blamed myself. I thought that I was too vulnerable or too honest. I shared too much. I put too much weight on her. I'm the leader. I shouldn't do that. But really, the lie that formed and the lie that settled and the one that had always been, the enemy had always really been working on since I was little, was the lie of, "You're just too much." And so I started to control. Thank you, Phil. I started to control and just give little bits. Never all of me, because no one could handle all of me. And thinking maybe only a part of me is lovable or little pieces. So I struggled. And I justified this struggle with what we've all heard. Leadership is lonely. That was my justification. And I bought into that half-truth. And don't get me wrong, leadership can be lonely. But I let it define leadership for me. And it overarched everything in my life in every capacity in anything involving connection. See, I knew you had to be vulnerable as a leader to be a good leader. And I was that, but I was really good at manipulating it or controlling it and making it and people feel like they were close, but I knew that they weren't close and it was a safe close, just safe enough. You can't hurt me again. And see, God really let the loneliness drive me to a breaking point, and he made a small crack when a beautiful, trustworthy, and humble woman came into my life. And little by little, God was teaching me that I can trust. And he gave me many small moments with Kimberly. And it slowly grew. A friendship slowly grew. And I begin to see the possibility of what I wanted, what was so desperately there. And what I so desperately desire, just a friend to be all of me with. But I was only in the beginning of this healing process. And God knew my fears. But he was really just revealing to me my own desire buried deep, deep down. And he took his time with me. He's so gentle. And then God said, "It's time." And he brought Kristen into my life. And this was at conference, I believe last year. And I saw her across the room. It was at a woman. It was at the woman's session. And we were coming in. And God immediately, like clear as a bell, like I saw her across the room. And she was highlighted to me. And he's like, invite her to sit with you. And I disobeyed. I didn't. And the whole session, I'm like, I keep seeing her, and I am just not focused. And I see her, and I'm like, oh, I wasn't obedient. And I was half focused. And then when session ended, just God granted me another opportunity to be obedient. And I was at the front heading out the door, and she was sitting at a back table. And so I had to walk out the door. Like, I had to walk right on by. Or sit down. And I felt God just say, sit down. I don't even know this. I could walk right out. I could just walk right on by. But I didn't realize the beautiful gift he was trying to give me. So I sat, and I was presented this opportunity to practice risky vulnerability. And I don't even know what I said, but she poured out of brokenness instantly. Like I asked a simple question, and it was just her. And God said to me, he's like, don't you minister, you match it. And I could. I had hurts just as deep. And you know, it was there that I noticed there was no controlling, there was no being fake. She led in this level of vulnerability that God's like, you just need to see it so you can do it. God is a gift giver. And to me, he gave the reminder with Kimberly of what I truly wanted and what I desired again. Deep friendship. He gave me small moments to see it. And then he gave me an opportunity to fully step into that healing. But I had to decide, and I had to do the work. And I had to fight for what I wanted. And what I wanted that risky, that terrifying, that scary vulnerability, but I wanted it. And so if I can encourage you with anything, be vulnerable again. And then be vulnerable over and over and over. Be willing to put the work in. It's hard. It's a lot of work. Put your guard down. And see, I want this for you. I want this for all the women in LifeLinks. To see the life of relation that's rich and the depth of friendship with vulnerability. So that Holy Spirit will push you and lead you into what he wants for you.
So 11 years ago, I moved to Saskatchewan to marry Mike. And that means in the process, I was uprooted from my family and my friends. And after a few years of living there, I started to notice a trend where something would happen and it would trigger me. And I would get really upset and I would start to have these thoughts similar to what they're saying. Like, no one, it doesn't matter that I'm here. No one cares. People only want something from me. They don't care about who I am. And honestly, there was never anywhere I felt more of those feelings than when I was at conference. I'd be in a room like this with women who dealt with a lot of the same things that I dealt with, and I would feel those things. I just felt alone. So God began to press on me, and it was like he was saying, Kristen, like, this is stopping you. You need to figure this out. I got tired of the cycle of it. And so I began to talk to Jesus. But this time, instead of asking him just to change my circumstances, I began to talk to him about me and what was going on in me. And I talked to him about the loneliness and the hurt that had built up through the years. And I was honest, like deeply honest with all of those things. And then I asked him, help me to move forward, help heal these wounds in my heart. So leading up to conference last year, I was actually feeling pretty good. And I had decided, no, this year it's going to be different. I'm going to build relationships. Came in Wednesday night. It was good. Everything was fine. Chatted with a few people. And I got back to the hotel that night, and I was unsettled. And I didn't know why. And I woke up the next morning, and it was with me the second I woke up. But it was worse. And I sat in the first session, and I thought, I felt awful. Like, I felt awful. And I came out, and I went into the women's workshop, and I sat down. And when I say the pain and the loneliness was so intense, I could feel my chest was constricting. It was a wild response for nothing having happened. But as I sat there at the end of it, I thought, I'm done. I think I'm done. And I decided I'm going to leave. I'm going to bow out of this conference. And I think I'm done coming. It hurt a bit too much. And as I sat there, Shyla came over and she goes, how are you? And I went, I hate it here. And then we began to talk. I'm sorry, I'm a weeper. We began to talk, and as we talked, our spirits connected. And then later that day, I met Kimberly, and we all talked, and our spirits connected. That night, I ended up meeting Jody, and we just ended up having a really good, life-giving conversation. And our spirits connected. Then the next morning, I can still see Candace. She saw me, and she just beelined it for me, and we'd never really talked. And I was telling her what had happened the day before because it really touched me. And as we talked, she said she had felt those same things. And our spirits connected. And then the next morning when we were leaving at breakfast, Leah and I sat at breakfast and we had a meaningful conversation. And our spirits connected. And as I left the conference, I clearly felt the Holy Spirit say to me, Kristen, it's done. I see you. I know what you need. You are healed. And I felt healed. And I have begun to build wonderful friendships, and they are so great, and I'm so grateful for them. But the most amazing thing that happened to me that weekend was the healing that I received. And I believe it started with me just being real and honest with Jesus and telling him what had happened in my heart over those years. And that I had the desire to be free of those things regardless of what was going on in my life. So my challenge here is to anybody who is connected with any of these things is to be real, be honest with us, with Jesus. Because when we are honest, when we are vulnerable, when we minister to each other, our spirits connect. And God can do with one spiritual connection in one heartbeat what years have not been able to produce for you. I made more connections in one weekend than in the 10 years before that I had come here. But if I had never opened my mouth to Shyla, I would have left and never come back. And all of the things that have happened since then and that are going to happen would not have happened for me. There's one more thing I want to say because it's really important. Once Jesus heals you and he sets you free, because he will, you have to believe that you are healed. You have to receive it. You cannot pick it back up again. There have been times that the devil has tried to tell me that nothing's changed. Everything is the same. And I have had to decide in the moment to act in a way to show that I believe Jesus did not lie to me when he said, you are healed. He healed me. It's the devil who lies. Because we have to remember that who the Son sets free is free indeed. And once you receive your healing, you don't stop there. We all work together then to bring that same freedom to other people. And that's how we multiply. So right now, I just want everyone to stand up if you can. Shyla said a really important thing, which was match it. Everybody here can talk about hurts that they've received and hurts that they've given. We've all done it. But this is a holy moment, and Jesus wants to bring freedom to every single person in this place. He wants to bring healing to every single person in this place. So if there's anything that you feel like, you know what, this just doesn't, it's still nicks. Can you just put your hand up? Just put your hand up. Okay? Even if your hand is up, just place your hand on the person beside you, because we are ministering to each other. That's what we're doing when we pray. So I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, you are here. You knew the moments where I was so broken. You know the moments right now where there are pain, even the smallest pain. Jesus, you care. And you are saying it is done. It is time. And that we need to move forward. And Father, we move forward together. So right now, Jesus, I just break off any chains that are trying to hold us back, that are trying to keep us in a cycle, that are trying to keep us apart from each other. And I speak openness and life and ministry to each other. Brotherhood and sisterhood over every single person, not just in this room, but in this building. And Father, I pray for divine moments to come and to confirm and to anoint and to release us into new things. And Jesus, we say, we are healed in the name of Jesus. We do not pick this back up. We do not pick it back up. That this moment, from this moment on, Father, it is different. We are different. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Wow, wow, wow. Jesus did something powerful. He started something powerful. And I pray in the name of Jesus, you carry this forward. We're going to be contagious in this as well. And so I know for some of you, you may need a little bit more. And so we want to continue this conversation. We're going to initiate a Zoom for the women, particularly in November. So just keep your eyes open for that. And I just want to lovingly challenge you, make the time. If you at all can, make the time. And if you need to talk deeper, we'll have women available to continue this discussion and to move it forward, because God has liberty for all of you. What he's done for these girls, he wants to do for every one of you, all of us. This is what we're going to do. And they're going to, the people out there who need Jesus are going to see and know these are his disciples by the way they love one another. There's a difference. It's lunchtime. So thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Thank you for these powerful stories. Thank you for the impartation of wisdom on mentoring. Lord, we receive that pioneering spirit in our hearts. We're going to be multipliers. Bless this food to our bodies and everything that goes on. In Jesus' name, amen.